Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Hope everybody's doing well. We have a packed podcast studio here. I think there is we could do all right in like a D2 college football game with who we got in here.
Probably so.
Pete is here.
We have an offensive line.
So
and one guy.
B. Mitch is here. We got a quarterback.
JP just dropped a mic.
Things are going south.
We're
here quick,
so
boys.
Used to having Tanner.
You might want to screw that
phone.
In a little bit. No. The other way. There. Screw it.
We're so. Jeez.
This is off to it.
I think we're
going
to have to start over.
I think we actually have to.
What up, everybody? Welcome to Redskins Talk Take 2. JP Finley, I am in the podcast studio. We got a packed room. B. Mitch is here. What up, man?
What up?
Mitchell Tischler is here. Mitch, how are you?
What up?
Pete Haley is here. Pete, how are you?
Hello.
Oh, what a geek. We are all literally within 3 feet of one another, yet we're all still wearing headphones.
Ask a question.
Sure.
When is Pete Mom going to see the replay of that thing when we talked about it, how drunk he was that night? Because he told his mom.
I told her that there were no reruns.
He lied to his mother. He told her there was not a replay. It didn't show.
She's like, when's that Redskins 100 come on? I was like, you missed it. There's no re-airs for this week. I don't know why.
He lied to his mom, and we can't let that happen. We got to make sure she sees and hears.
For her own safety and well-being, let's just lie to her this one time.
Why her safety?
Pete, was that safe, smart, or sensible?
It was all 0 out of 3 S's.
You mean for your safety, because your mother's going to bust you in the face for lying to her.
No, she's just going to get really sad and be like, I thought I raised you better.
Well,
she lost her credit card in Richmond.
Whatever, however you feel, let me take it out on him, please.
No.
So B-Mitch just grabbed Pete's phone and was about to like rip it in half in a way that I didn't know was possible.
Like cracking wafers in half. He was about to do that to my phone.
Yeah, it was wild. I didn't think that was possible, and it was so close to happening, and you just showed mercy. Like, it's not like any of us stopped you.
You remember people saying that when you sat with these phones, they would bend in your pocket?
Yeah.
If they bend when your butt said no, and I'm sure I could bend it.
Dude, you could have snapped that.
You could have snapped it.
The next time you take a picture of me when I'm not.
When was the last time B-Mitch showed mercy, by the way?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, I'm a nice guy.
No, I'm sorry.
You're a nice gentleman.
To Pete.
Yes.
To Pete.
First time.
The night that he was sleeping, I showed mercy. I could have picked him up and thrown him in the pool.
He was talking about pouring bourbon and hot sauce down my throat, which would have
and
absolutely
I showed mercy.
Killed
All
me.
I did was beer.
All we poured was beer. I actually have a video of that.
You know how terrible. That's like the equivolent of waterboarding.
Hey, how about we send
him? He was asleep and we threw him in the pool and he woke up underwater. I think.
I wouldn't have woken up, JP. I would have died.
No, you would have woke up as soon as you hit the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have woken up, you idiot.
See, Pete, you're so extravagant. I would have died.
Extravagant?
You get so out there. I would have died.
I don't think. All right. We're going to talk some football.
We want to try at least.
By the way, the lawyers did not hear that Pete might have died that night.
All right. Good point. Mostly because you threw him to the ground when he tried to rush the passer.
Listen.
That's my fault for rushing
nature
the left
versus
tackle.
Nature. Versus nurture.
Let's talk some football, shall we?
Yes.
Please.
Jay Gruden. Ever heard of him? Coach of the Redskins.
We heard of him.
He is now that Barry Trotz has taken the job with the Islanders, and we can do this quickly.
I have no ill will towards Trotz going to New York. They couldn't make it work in D.C. Go get paid, man. I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
right?
Get that, Chad.
Absolutely.
Pete?
Yeah, no way.
All right, even the millennial says so.
But this,
right.
This deal was set up. Both people got what they wanted.
Yeah. He got his 5 years. The Caps are going to get reared in. Everybody's cool. Yeah.
He gave the organization everything he had and then some.
Yeah. I mean, you win a cup, man, everything is kind of cool. Whatever happens next. The only thing I thought that kind of stunk was that Ovi and Backstrom had to, like, answer questions about Trotz last night during the award show when it should have just been fun, but you got to, like...
It's back to reality, man.
Well, if I'm there, if I'm the journalist in question, I'd have to... You have to ask those questions, so it was fair. Sorry, still dealing with the cold. That leaves Jay Gruden as the longest tenured coach in D.C. sports. Now, I know Ben Olsen's been with United a long time. Forgive me, we're going big four on this one for the United fans. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised by that?
No. I'm not.
Because it's only, what are we talking about, 4 years?
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of competition.
It's only been 4 years. They just signed somebody 2 years ago in Scott Brooks.
Yep.
Okay, and we look at, they just got a new one this year for the Nets.
Yeah.
And the Nets just run dudes out.
So, I mean.
Running dusty out for whatever.
They go in and out. So I'm not surprised at all.
Football, you don't have the longest careers either.
Well, not with this team. The one that we cover.
Plenty of teams don't have long careers. Yeah, we're talking about Vance Joseph might have been fired last year, might be fired this year. I mean, he's been there a year in Denver.
1 year, Vance Joseph.
Right.
How many have we had in the last 10 years?
Last 10 years might be two between Jay and Shanahan, right? Shanny was there.
Zorn was here. So it's three right there.
Right.
How many Denver had in the last 10 years? Two or three?
Kubiak.
Kubiak was there how long? And he had to leave.
Kubiak won the Super Bowl.
But he left because of medical issues.
Who was between Kubiak and Vance Joseph? Somebody.
No, McDaniels?
He didn't get the head coach.
I'm looking it up now. This is good podcasting.
I think three coaches in 10 years in the NFL isn't that rare.
I would say that
John
NFL
Fox.
Coaches.
John Fox, thank you.
NFL coaches are probably the shortest tenured coaches of the Big Four.
So,
right?
Mitch,
hockey's crazy.
So I was looking.
None of us know about hockey.
So. I was like, is this the first time a Redskins head coach has been the longest tenured? Yada yada. But in DC, the Nationals have gone through Davey Johnson, Matt Williams, Dusty Baker, and Dave Martinez since 2011.
Basically, if you sign a deal, you're gonna sign that amount, and then you want some more money, you're gonna get fired.
The Wizards have had three coaches since 2009, so it's somewhat stable. And then the Caps have had three coaches since 2011. So. The coaches in D.C. usually last 3 to 4, maybe 5 years, all sports. So that title of longest tenure gets passed around pretty often.
All right, so that's actually a good segue, Pete. So that brings Gruden to his fifth season. Do we think he's going to make it to a sixth season? Because it appears Las Vegas does not.
I think if it's successful, yes.
Way to go out on a limb, dude.
Oh, he just saw a coach win a damn Stanley Cup, and he's gone. Not going out on a limb.
But we don't know anything about
Zing
hockey.
Rescinded by JP.
Let's be real. Because, listen.
But let's just establish. So Vegas has put Jay Gruden with the fifth highest odds to be fired.
One thing I'll say is that he is fifth highest, but the gap between him and like the top three is pretty big.
Hugh Jackson hasn't won a game in 2 years.
But you're saying he is the fifth highest, and Vegas doesn't think he's going to come back?
Or is this because of they know how this franchise has worked over the years? Because Vegas has the best stats out there. They know about stats
now. They know their numbers.
And they have seen with this team, when things don't seem to be looking well, certain things happen. Listen, I'll say this. If this is not a very successful season, I expect tons of things to happen on that squad.
Well, I think we're all kind of to a point where nobody's going to be surprised if Bruce Allen by 2020 is either retired or with a different organization, right?
I wouldn't be.
I don't know about that.
You would be or wouldn't be?
I wouldn't be.
Right. I think Bruce is also, he owns a oceanfront home in Southern California. At some point, you want to go live there.
And your buddy Mark Davis, that's his name?
Yeah, Mark Davis.
There may not be no correlation, but the guy they just signed, Brian, whatever his name,
La Famina,
does just about all the stuff that Bruce was doing off the field. He does that.
Exactly.
Right. He's from the NFL. He's very damn good at what he does. So we don't know.
And La Famina even talked about stadium relocations and all that
stuff.
That's right in his wheelhouse. La Famina and Jake Bibb worked on that stuff for the LA Rams. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're saying, that there could be big organizational shakeups. I don't think the current power structure of Doug Williams, Eric Schaefer, Kyle Smith, I don't think that is going anywhere for a little while. I'm not saying that. Ownership believes in that as the front office personnel
side. If this draft is any semblance of what the future may hold, I think you want to see them work for another 2 to 3 years at least to really see how good, because I think they did some remarkable things.
I agree.
And I will give credit more to that whole scouting department
totally,
than
top
anybody
to bottom,
else.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think they picked for value in all their spots. They went for their guys where they wanted it. And I think that extends to Santos and all the guys, Roger mm-hmm. Terry, the guys out there eating hamburgers, as Doug Williams likes to say, the guys on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So
riding in the backwoods and
right,
stuff.
I yeah. think there's stability in the front office. I think for Jay Gruden, I think 8 wins keeps him here, but I don't know that they can go below that. I think 9-7, you miss the playoffs, he stays. Certainly you make the playoffs, he's staying. I think you and I have argued about this on 100 a bunch. I do believe Gruden has stabilized this team as a coach, but I think it's time to start maximizing the talent.
Well, take the next step.
Right, exactly.
I don't think this is a midseason. I don't think it's a midseason change.
No, I don't think that.
I don't think a change is coming. For the record,
I just think really. I mean, when you say stabilize, it's hard for me to agree with stabilize when you're missing the playoffs.
I hear you.
Stabilization to me is you're making the playoffs, because I know a lot of people don't know about this. But this team for a while, when I first got here, they were in the playoffs damn near every year. Okay, and they were competing for Super Bowls. So being stabilized based on what we've seen since then, that's not very much to do.
But they had
some awful season, 4-12, 3-12,
right.
3-13, stuff like that.
I would say stabilize more is that we talk football with this team. We're not talking about all the other BS that we get dragged out.
I understand
into.
That.
Good point.
But I'll
time.
Say this.
And
I
that's
think
what I mean, stabilize.
Most of that stuff, and I would say, it's not just Jay. That's a lot of the front office
Agreed.
And the owner
Absolutely.
Starting to say, let's get rid of that crap.
Right.
Because they cause as much of that off-field
Absolutely.
Stuff as anything else. But I look at, we talked about this on 100, JB. You said they won 9, they won 8, won 7.
It's trending
Seemed
down.
Like they're sliding down.
But here's what I wanted to say, and we didn't have time on TV. Gibbs 2.0, when he was here. Now, granted, they won a playoff game, which Jay hasn't done. But Gibbs' first year back, let me make sure, his first year back, 6-10.
And that was a crap team.
Totally. Then they spike and go 10-6. And that team was good. That team had a real chance.
Mm-hmm. Love that team.
The next team, the next year, 5-11. They fall apart. Mm-hmm. The next year, 9-7. They spike again. They lost a wild card. So Gibbs 2.0, two playoff bursts in 4 years may prove to be the apex of the last 20 years. I think mm-hmm. right now it is. So the Zorn years are easily dismissible, I would argue. Then you get Mike
Start
Shanahan.
Off 6-2.
Mike Shanahan, another coach with multiple Super Bowl rings, comes in here. His first year, 6-10. His second year, 5-11. 2012, they have the RG3 spike, 10-6. And then his last year, you go 3-13. When I say stabilize, Jay Gruden only has one bad year on his resume, and then it's all been relatively mediocre. You can call it whatever you want, mm-hmm. but you're not seeing those dramatic drops. His first year, when he's
quarterback.
7-9 to me is a bad year.
Fine, but it'd be cool if we could compare this to when they were good, but that comparison is 25 years old.
But no, I understand what you're saying, but what you got to realize is that the same coach has worked with this team for 4 years, okay?
True.
That's where I'm going. I'm not going to the fact that, and listen, I understand we don't talk about crap anymore. We talk about football. But still, the same coach, and you're dropping off victories.
Yeah.
So to me, I thought when you have stabilization and you have chemistry and you're sticking together, things are supposed to be on the up. I don't know if it went up. Now, last year, I'm going to say I give him a pass because the amount of injuries they had last year, which most people say you don't use that, okay? I now see this team, especially with the defensive back coach, where he takes guys and he starts to make them ascend to where they're supposed to go.
Torian's growing
in the first
league.
3 years of Jay, I saw guys come here and didn't grow in it at all. And that's not just the head coach's problem, but you're the one that set the tone. So I need to see, on days when I walk over there and it's a great day outside, I don't want to see the team in a damn bubble. I think toughness comes from your head coach. And players have complained about that. That's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
I just need to see certain little things touch. You got to know how to touch the inner core of a player to get them to step to that next level instead of giving them the easy way out sometimes.
That's fair. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you touched on Torian Gray a little bit. How much credit do we give Jay for bringing in a pretty great stable of
Tom Sula,
Callahan? I mean, there are some big names, and you see a big difference in – the O-line.
It's starting to grow now. Yeah.
You see that difference.
But so, I would even say that bringing Torian, Tom Sula and Callahan were headliners. Football Talk probably wrote about that. Hiring Torian Gray was knowing the football. You know what I mean? That's poaching a guy out of V-Tech. That's not a big-name assistant that has been a head coach previously.
Minuski, too?
Right. Well, Minuski has popped as a coordinator. I agree with you about crediting, but I think finding Torian shows more depth than necessarily hiring Tom Sula or hiring Callahan.
I just mean putting together a group of guys that can build, that you start seeing the improvement year to year, and the guys don't plateau. That's something in this league.
All right, let's go around the horn. So we've all seen the odds. Even though there is a big drop from Dirk Cutter and Adam Gase and, you know, Hugh Jackson to Jay, Vegas still has him as the fifth highest odds.
Yeah.
We'll start with Mitch. Not B. Mitch. Mitch. Jay Gruden coaching the Redskins in 2019.
Yes.
Pete.
Yes.
Mitch. B. Mitch.
Yes. Reason I say yes, I got to give a reason. This is a much better football team.
I think it's...
And I'm saying yes because I expect them to win. He doesn't win with this team, then I wouldn't have a problem if they say bye-bye.
That's what I'm going to say is he's got kind of, it's all set up on the table. He's got his best team ever. He keeps saying that. He's got all these assistants.
See, all that talk like that? He's putting more
pressure
on himself.
He's got his quarterback that he wants. It's now or never for Jay. The excuses are out. He's been in the league for 4 years as a head coach. If he can't get this team to the playoffs, 8-9 wins, at least competing for that playoff spot, then it's like, dude, this is the best it's going to get, at least in D.C.
I'll just say it's also the best the division's been in a while with the Eagles, the Giants, and the Cowboys. Well,
Not a big fan of the Cowboys this year.
Dude, that's the fine. Division, they still have and a defending Super Bowl champ. The division's pretty damn good.
The Cowboys, you better have some respect for them.
I mean, I think the division's as good as it's been in a while.
How fired up you think Zeke Elliott's going to be?
Zeke, yeah.
He's going to come to camp in shape.
That's what he fires it up for the season.
There you go.
Alan Hearns and Cole Beasley, though. Not scared.
Okay.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I actually want to dig into some of the numbers about making the playoffs without a 1,000-yard receiver on the roster, because I think that could be kind of interesting.
Sounds like a Tandler job.
Does it really make that big of a difference if you don't have a 1,000-yard receiver?
That's what I want to find out.
If you have a quarterback who likes to spread the ball around.
I think in this day and age, it's got to be kind of tough. I'd be, like you said, I'd be curious what those numbers are.
But if you have a running back that can – okay, the Eagles didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver last year, did they? They won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yep. They had three running backs that were very effective. I don't think they had a 1,000-yard receiver on that roster.
You don't think Alshon got to 1,000?
I don't think he did. I think he was like 700 or 800 yards. I think the tight end had about 800 or 900 yards. I think everybody was below 1,000. I think I saw that somewhere where they were.
I think Ertz led the team, yeah.
Everybody was under 1,000 yards.
Okay.
And they won the Super Bowl.
They did.
What tells you is you don't have to throw the ball to one person.
Right. I bet the Patriots didn't have 1,000
yards. Watching the Eagles last year. Did you see a team try to take away one person, or the team would have to play more man-to-man because you don't know where they were throwing the football? Right. And then when Nick Foles came in, that running game is what affected the linebackers in the secondary, and he was throwing the ball all over the place.
Zach Ertz, 824. Alshon, 789. So it's a good point. It's a good point.
You know, so you can win it all.
Because we have you here, I want to talk about two things. I've had this idea in my head for a long time. I want to do.
You got a lot of ideas in that head.
It's a big head, dude.
Keep most of them in your head and not on the podcast.
I know. There's a lot of dangerous ideas running around here.
D.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I try to write things down at times.
How's your list coming? Do you still have it?
Dude, it's still in my wallet. I've been doing well. I've been crossing stuff off. I'm
really
doing well.
Proud.
He has what Doc said. Doc will say ADHD. He's an ADDH.
I got it all. Whatever it is, I got
that
it.
That hadn't been made yet.
All right. I was going to do this, and then I kind of thought it was lame to be going back so far, and everybody was going to talk about the DC sports curse and all that junk where there is no curse, just teams didn't win. Now that the Caps have won, and there's, it's no longer this retrospective on, oh my gosh, how long has it been since they've won, I want to do an oral history on the 91 Redskins team. And I want to talk to guys that were a part of it. Maybe
today?
Not right now. Oh, okay. I'm saying going forward. Right. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to Charlie Casserly. I want to lean on you for other contexts to talk about them. But I also want to talk to fans.
I only charge $100 per number.
Well, Mitch will take care of the tab. Don't worry about it.
No, okay. I'm talking about phone number. I'm talking per number in the phone number.
Do you think that I want to hear your answer, and then I want the millennial meter. Okay. Is that a cool idea to you? And here's my one restriction.
I think it's a very, very good idea, because you're going to find out, like we were just asking the question about having a receiver over 1,000 yards. Basically, today they say if you don't have a certain superstar. Now, Art Monk became a star, Darryl Green was a star, all this type of stuff, but mostly that team was a team.
Absolutely.
And everybody was dedicated to the team. You're going to hear more about that than I think you're going to hear. Like some of these teams today, they want to just put focus on certain people. Terry Orr was vitally important.
Touchdown Terry Orr.
Okay. Ron Middleton, vitally important.
Kurt Gouveia.
You look at people like Andre Collins. Okay. We go to Donnie Warren. These guys are not going to end up in Hall of Fames or much talk of best players ever. But T.O. didn't make mistakes. Made one. He pissed me off about some stuff.
You're talking about Terry Orr, Terrell Owens.
No, not that one. Ron Middleton wasn't considered fleet of foot, wasn't a great pass catcher, but caught some big plays, made some great blocks. That team was, we talked about Alex Smith being smart. That team was full of smart football players, you know, and it'll teach you again about how great Joe Gibbs is. The dude knew how to push buttons.
So you think it's a good idea?
Great idea.
Here's the one rule I have on it. So what I want to ask people, and this will morph and twist as it goes, right? That's what happens with ideas.
You got to get a game plan. You can't just be going off the seat of your damn pants.
That's kind
of in the wrong podcast studio then.
That's what I'm here for, B-Mitch.
The lone story. So I want to ask one person for one story from that season and whatever they want it to be, but it can't be the Super Bowl. So it's got to be one of the, it can be training camp. It can be week 8. It can be whatever, but it can't be the Super Bowl. That's my one caveat.
That's fine.
Okay.
I guarantee you everybody will be able to give you a story.
I bet. And that's what's going to make it so damn cool.
We'll be spectacular about it real quick. We'll just be the stark difference in the NFL 20 years ago than now. Like, I mean, not just the team, but the way the guys talk about it. It's a big difference.
While you're doing it, I want you to do one thing. I want you to look at the Eagles' success this year and compare it to 1991 and see how many comparisons are in there.
I'm going
to
like that.
The all league right. today is telling you we got to do this.
Right. You can still just run the damn ball.
You can run the ball. If you run it well, you don't have to have a 1,000-yard receiver.
Right. And if you play good defense,
and stop the run.
How did the Broncos beat the Panthers to you? You know what I mean? Like, I'm totally with you on that.
Don't ask Cam Newton about that.
Right, sure. All right, Pete, millennial meter.
The millennial meter is at 0 because I was very interested. I was very engaged. Hearing all those stories would be sick. Learning about all those players that I don't know enough about would be very beneficial for people who don't know enough about it.
Google.
I am all in.
All right, we need to come up with a new way. The millennial meter.
I didn't touch my laptop. I didn't touch my phone. I was looking at B-Mitch as he was telling the story.
So if you're excited, it shouldn't be zero. We have to come up with a new metric.
No, I think the millennial meter, when it goes at 10, that means it's going. I'm all over the place. I'm very bored. The millennial meter.
I don't think 0 to 10 is the right. We'll have to figure out the metric. But you're in on that. Yeah, as a 22-year-old who has no idea about the success of that
team. I opened zero apps during that. The millennial meter was at 0 apps during that
I was
pitch.
Opening up apps all day.
Yeah, well, B-Mitch, I'm in.
You're more of a. You have worse ADD than I do. You just hide it better.
Oh, please.
You hide it better. Dude. You can't stop playing Candy Crush for 35 seconds.
I don't play Candy
Crush. Whatever
game it is you're playing.
Every commercial break for 100, I get nervous that B-Mitch is going to be on his phone when the camera turns back on. You always get so close. You can hear the phone when you put it on.
How do I deal with you people?
But you have to realize one thing. I'm researching.
Yeah, yeah.
Instagram research.
Candy Crush research.
First of all.
What is the game then? What game are you playing? Clash of Clans?
I'll show it to you.
Bubble Guppies? Whatever game it is.
You playing Tetris?
Toon Blast.
Toon Blast. Perfect.
Sounds kind of sick.
All right. We're ending it on this story. At the end, can you tell the story that you told us after the show?
Which one?
About the guy coming out?
Oh, yeah. Cool. Of course.
So At the end of 100 today, we showed a clip, and it's gone viral. I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter or whatever. Some idiot runs out on the field in a Canadian football game.
Yeah.
The security guard chasing him had zero chance of catching him. It looked like a corner, maybe a safety.
It was a corner I researched.
So what team was it?
It was week one of CFL. I can look.
Your great research. You don't know what team it was?
Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
No. Is that accurate?
No, it wasn't Saskatchewan. It wasn't the right colors.
So the corner.
The BC Lions.
The corner for the BC Lions comes out and lays this idiot out. Mm-hmm. I mean, de-cleats him flat on his back. You can argue if it was a headhunt or not. Evidently, the idiot is suing the team. I hope the lawsuit gets completely thrown out of court. You go out on the field, all bets are off. But that got B-Mitch to tell us a pretty incredible story about a day in practice, and go for it.
This was, I was with the Redskins. I think Russ Grimm had become a coach at that time. And
wait, he was a coach when he did this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So we're on the field, and all of a sudden, this guy is walking across the field, and I'm looking, I'm like, who is this? He's not a reporter. We don't know him. So
What's he dressed like?
He was just casually dressed.
Was the media out there at this point, or had they been sent away?
No. Okay. So he's walking on, and he's just walking around, like walking through huddles, and I'm hearing people say, don't touch him, don't touch him. And I'm getting pissed off because I'm thinking that you are worried about him.
What year are we talking? Like 96-ish?
None of this. It's just about 90, yeah, about 6 or 7.
Okay.
Somewhere around that, in that range. And so he's walking around, he's walking around, he's walking around. And then all of a sudden, he just disappears. Russ Grimm said, to hell with this. Because what if this guy has a weapon or something? You know?
So all right, tell me about the hit.
You know, like if you just, like you ever see the cartoons where you see a person and then like they go and then they little
the body
smoke.
Like
yeah,
the,
smoke follows them
like the road
was like that. Look, it was worse than that.
Worse than the Canadian football.
The guy had on pads. Russ had on no pads.
Oh boy!
And if it was 5 seconds before I was about to run through him,
I believe that for sure.
Because I'm sitting up there going, they saying don't touch him. They were worried about Redskin liability, not giving a damn about my liability.
Right, so, in case the guy was truly crazy.
I believe if there's a no trespassing sign.
And you trespass.
And you trespass, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Let's say if you walk on my property, I have a fence that says
a lot of snakes have tried and they have failed.
But I'm saying if I had a fence around my yard saying no trespassing, I have vicious dogs.
Your very large yard.
You jump my fence and my dogs light you up. Then you're going to sue me.
Right.
Yeah. You shouldn't have been jumping the damn fence.
That's a problem with our legal.
We'll let the lawyers handle that.
Our legal system
is screwed up.
Angry lawyer VA,
I agree.
Please.
That's a great story, though. All right, we're about to break.
We could do a whole pod of great Russ Grimm stories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy is a true legend. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll get Russ for the oral history of 91.
I used to sit with Russ and his crew at the back of the plane on every
flight. We're going to talk about the
couple cocktails?
How about the fire?
They drank beer. And they were like, it was like Budweiser, Bud Light, Budweiser. And they said, I said, how can I get a beer? I said, well, you know, you got to put $50 in for the week. I'm like, here's $200. And Boss would go, rookie giving us $200? He said, man, you saw he driving on, he drove it on a three, in a 300ZX. This dude probably took a pay cut to come here. And then I tore him up in Bure. They didn't know I know the game.
Yo, Bure has had some inauspicious times in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
is Bure the Gilbert Arenas?
Bure is the Gilbert Arenas game.
All right.
Yo, pick one.
Little bit of news. Hold on. A little bit of news just coming across the wire. Looks like Jameis Winston is going to get a 3-game suspension this fall.
For what?
3 games is a weird increment.
There was an Uber incident.
Oh, yeah.
It does not interfere with the Redskins.
We don't know, Pete.
It could.
Premature Pete. Maybe that's what we'll call you. Skins play the Bucks in November. November 11th.
New story for that.
Yeah, right.
I'm not touching that nickname.
I doubt Jameis would be suspended for that. But should he appeal?
You never
know how long an appeal can drag out. What we saw with Zeke Elliott last year. And from everything I've read, Jameis is accepting this suspension and moving on. But you never know until this stuff's finalized.
So he did not eat a W on this suspension then.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W.
Jeez. All right. We're good here.
Mitch wants to just murder me.
I mean, the amount of eyes being rolled at Pete right now.
Pete, I got a new game for you. We'll talk off air.
Are you going to Russ Grimm me after this podcast?
No. Dude, we need to go back to muting Pete.
We do. It's been, you know
what? No.
Bye, Pete.
Bye, Pete. Folks, thank you very much for listening. Leave us reviews. Mitch is going to wear a bolo tie to the next podcast party. Mitch, would you wear a bolo tie to the next podcast party?
Hell no.
All right. I don't give a damn
I'll
what
make that thing
say.
Look good.
350 reviews. We're going to wear some bolo ties.
How big is that bolo tie have to be to look big on him?
I don't know. No. We need an extra large bolo if you can help us out.
If anyone can help us locate a long bolo, we need one of those.
All right,
that bolo's got to go low, man.
All right. Now I'm going to have to, if you give him your mic, I'm going to have to mute you too, dude.
That was B-Mitch. Gave Pete the mic.
I just blew up the whole thing.
Oh, great. All right. Thank you very much for listening.
You're not playing Tomb Raider anymore.
Hope you enjoyed this wild ride of a podcast. As always, you made it this far. I owe you a beer.